Welcome to our church service for April the 19th, 2020, the second week of Easter. And today we're doing something slightly different. In the last few weeks, as we've been streaming these services together during lockdown, I've had a picture of St. Thomas, one of our church venues, behind me. But today I welcome you into my living room. Why is that, I wonder? Well, let me just read to you from the book of Acts in chapter 2, starting at verse 46, where it says, "Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together, with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." As I read that during this last week, it reminded me that they met in the temple courts, or what we would call our church buildings, that they worshipped God in the church. But also, in the book of Acts, we're reminded that they worshipped God in their homes. They worshipped and met together in their homes. And so as you sit in your home, I welcome you into my home as we worship God together. I'm also really excited to bring you news about our new sermon material. Starting next week, we're going to be looking at the foundations of the Christian faith. We're going to be using the well-known Alpha material to ask questions like, did Jesus have to die? Why do we pray? Do we have to read the Bible? What does it mean to come together as church? I'm going to be sharing those with other speakers on a Sunday as we look at that in our streamed services for that little 5 to 7 minute segment in the middle. And then afterwards, you'll be able to view the Alpha video online and have a think about that yourself. And then on Wednesday nights, moving forward, starting next week, I will be hosting an online discussion group where you can come together with others and with me and ask the questions that you've always wanted to ask. As we talk about, you know, does this really work? What about that? What about this? What about the questions you've always had? Just send an email to me and ask me about how you join that online discussion group, or just give me a phone call and we will make sure that you get the material to go online. I'm really looking forward to wrestling with some of these tough questions together. Also, just to say as well, that you may be aware, if you're looking at this video, but maybe not, that we are hosting all of our online material on our website. If you go to www.bedhampton.church/worship, you'll get access to all this material, but also to other material that we've put up there for young people and for children. And particularly this week, Freya, our youth worker, has put up a session for young people on there. So just go and find that on our website. But as we come together now, let's just take a moment to pause before we gather as one group of people, distributed across our nation even, but actually worshiping the one God. Let's pause as we reflect before we begin. And we use these words from Celtic morning prayer to gather together before our God. Who is it that you seek? We seek the Lord our God. Do you seek him with all your heart? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your soul? Amen. Lord, have mercy. Do you seek him with all your mind? Amen. Lord, have mercy. And do you seek him with all your strength? Amen. Christ, have mercy. And just before I pray the collect, what we call our prayer of the week, Just before I pray that, a moment of silence for you to say your own prayer of thanks to God. Risen Christ, for whom no door is locked, no entrance barred, open the doors of our hearts that we might seek the good of others and walk the joyful road of sacrifice and peace, to the praise of God the Father. Amen. And now Tracy is going to read us our psalm for today.
Today's reading is Psalm 13. How long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Look on me and answer, Lord my God. Give light to my eyes, or I will sleep in death, and my enemy will say, I have overcome him. And my foes will rejoice when I fall. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Tracy, for that. And now we're going to sing a song together, or we're going to listen to a song, depending on what you want to do, called I Believe. It's a sung version of the creed, of the things that we believe as Christians.
Our Father everlasting, the all creating one, God Almighty. Spirit conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in. Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one.
Of course, one of the things we believe, as we've just said, is that Jesus died on the cross for you and I, that we might have life and life to the full, not just in some future heaven, but in the kingdom of God now. And part of that life to the full is knowing that when we turn to Jesus, we are forgiven for the mistakes and the sins that we make. But it helps us just to come and confess that to our Lord, to get this slate, as it were, wiped clean before we continue to worship. So let's take a moment to pause as we consider the things that we've done that have not loved people and have not loved our God. As we consider the things that we've not done, perhaps, that we should have done to love people and to love God. As we consider the things that we fought and maybe said that weren't loving, we come before a God who's keen to forgive us. Let's pause for a moment and reflect upon that before we confess together. And knowing God is keen to forgive us, we say together, "Dear God, please forgive me. I am so sorry, Lord. I would love to turn back time to change my mistakes. Please help me to be forgiven of myself and to move on from this place. I feel regret. Please wash away this emotion with your grace. I know you love me and understand my heart. Please fill me with your strength and courage as I resolve to live for you. Thank you that I can now walk forward into a new future, hand in hand with you, the maker of heaven and earth. Amen." And now, as we walk forward together with Jesus, cleansed of our sins and our mistakes, we're going to have our second Bible read from Matthew.
After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who has come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. Those who wear fine clothes are in king's palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Whoever has ears, let them hear. To what can I compare this generation? They are like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others. We played the pipe for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proven right by her deeds.
Thank you, Celia, for reading from Matthew for us. And indeed, we have an international speaker with us today, Celia's grandson. He also has a certain resemblance to a certain rector. So let's listen to see what Jack has to say on being disappointed with God.
Hey guys, it's Jack here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Max and Susie's son, and I'm a missionary in Los Angeles. I work with an anti-trafficking ministry, reaching out to those who are in sexual exploitation. And I really just have a message that it's really been on my heart, and I'm pulling it from the last season of John the Baptist's life. Looking at it from Matthew 11 right now, please go over there and read Matthew 11. I don't have time to go into it right now, but I'm just going to summarize it. So we have John the Baptist, right? And I'm actually going to rephrase him for this last season of his life. Not as John the Baptist, but as John the Disappointed. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but stick with me. I have reasons for it. We see John's in prison right now. And he's sending his disciples to Jesus, and he's asking them this question. And they ask Jesus, are you the one who's to come, or should we expect another? And what he's really asking here is, he's asking Jesus, are you the Messiah? And this is super confusing, because we have seen throughout the life of John that he's recognized who Jesus is. You can go look at, even from as far back as when John was in the womb, to the baptism of Jesus, there's constantly been this theme in John's life of he knows that Jesus is the Messiah. So why at this point now is he asking Jesus, are you the Messiah? And I think what's actually happening is he's not asking, are you the Messiah? He's asking, if you're the Messiah, where are you now? You see, John knows what's going on. He knows he's in the last season of his life. He knows he's probably going to be put to death. And I think he's reaching out to Jesus from a place of vulnerability, saying, where are you? I need you. Where are you? And he gets this beautiful response from Jesus. It's very powerful. What Jesus says is, he says, John, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking again. The dead are literally rising from a grave. Blessed is he who does not fall away on account of me. And although this is beautiful, it's a little confusing. Firstly, why would anyone fall away on account of Jesus? And why would anyone fall away on account of the miraculous signs that he does? Like, why would you lose faith for that? And as I was pondering on this, it really hit me that I think what Jesus is actually saying isn't just a simple blessed is he who doesn't fall away. He's saying, blessed is he who does not fall away when I don't move in their circumstance. Because here's the thing, we see that he can. We've seen the power, we've seen the authority, we've seen the miracles of who Jesus is in our own lives and all throughout the Bible. So when Jesus doesn't move, we have to determine that it's not what God wants. God hasn't released a certain healing. He hasn't raised those people from the dead. He hasn't moved financially in that way that we wanted him to. Why is that? When he can. He's meant to be this good God. He's meant to be this God who cares. Why doesn't he move? And what we see right now is John. He's in the same situation. He's trying to reconcile the goodness of God with the will of God. And he's asking that question. It's a very vulnerable question he's asking. Is, why won't you move? Why won't you move to help me? And I think we could... We sometimes make this, asking these types of questions to God, weird and almost not allowed. And I think we really have to follow the example of John in this story. When we have those questions where we're just confused and when it can make us lose faith, really the hard ones, is take it to God, take it to our Lord. I know in my life, when I went through some really hard seasons, and there was this one particular season where I was really carrying the scars and the wounding of a trauma, and I really wasn't able to proceed and progress. I kept spiraling round and round and not knowing, not being able to reconcile the goodness of God and the will of God. If God is so good, how did this happen to me? Why did this happen to me? And I had a very good friend of mine, and he just challenged me with this question, and he said, what does Father say about that? What does God say about that? And it took me to this intimate place with Jesus, where I asked his perspective, what does he say? And I wish I had this 10-step program or way of doing this where you can instantly reconcile the will of God and the goodness of God. But I think that would cheat you, and it would rob you of a story of what God has for you, because it's personal. He wants to speak into your heart. He wants to speak into the wounds. He wants to speak into the pain. He was with you in the fire. He was with you in the pain. He was present, so he knows what happened. But if we were just to follow a simple guide, we would lose that experience of God where he gets to speak into it. Speak life. Speak power, speak truth. So my challenge for you guys is, I don't know what's going on in your individual lives. I don't know what's going on as your church on the whole. But when you have those questions, when you have those disappointment moments, when you become John the disappointed or whoever, don't shy from that. Take up John's example. Take up what he did. Go to your Lord, go to Jesus, go to Father, and ask him, what happened? Why was this? Wrestle it through with him. It doesn't have to look pretty. It doesn't have to look safe. It doesn't have to look put together. But when you allow Father to speak into that intimate, that space in your heart, and you let him tell you what his will is, you let him tell you where his goodness was, it's a game changer, guys. And I really encourage you guys to go over this week. Go over in your quiet times. Go over in the isolation when you have nothing else to do. Use it. Use it to let God speak into your heart. Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's really been a blessing. I've really enjoyed wrestling through this with God as well. And I'm praying for you guys. You're in my thoughts, in my heart. God bless.
And so thank you to Jack for that and that input. And I wonder if, like Jack was saying, whether you have any disappointment of God in your life. Maybe you look around the world right now, indeed amongst this pandemic, and think, where is God in this? Perhaps there have been personal circumstances from the past where you've been disappointed with God and yet not come to him about it. Maybe you've put it in a drawer as one of those things you just can't get an answer to. Well, Jack was suggesting that God is big enough for us to come to him with those issues. And so maybe let's just take a moment now before we continue to just be quiet and reflect if there are any of those things in our past that we still harbour grudges about. Let's take a moment just to be quiet and let the Holy Spirit minister to you right now, wherever you are, in whatever time it is for you. Let's take a moment to be quiet. Holy Spirit, as we come to you in this silence for a moment, would you raise in us anything that is damaging in our relationship with you? Anything that we harbour from the past? Any disappointment that remains? as we come to you, our loving God. Father, we pray for your protection upon us as we raise those things in our hearts and our minds. Would you bring your peace and your healing upon us? Amen. And I would encourage you to continue to bring those to God during this week ahead, as Jack suggested. Knowing he's keen to have a relationship with you that is healed and whole. Life to the full, life in the here and now, as well as the future. And now Polly's going to bring us the rest of our prayers for this week.
Father, as we come before you today, we want to take time to thank you. Thank you for the blessings you pour out upon us. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross to make a way for us to come into your presence. Thank you that our current suffering is nothing compared to the suffering he went through on our behalf. Thank you for the wonderful signs of spring all around us, for the birds we can hear singing now there's less traffic around, for the blossom on the trees, for the wonderful colours and smells that surround us as spring brings with it hope of new life and a fresh start. Thank you for everyone who's staying at home to keep themselves and others safe. We know how hard it is not to see our friends and family and to be able to hug them at this time. Thank you for those who are still working to keep our nation going, including everyone in the NHS, the care system, shop workers, lorry drivers, school workers, social workers. Thank you for the way we're seeing communities pull together. Thank you for all the people who've donated locally to food banks and for requests for toiletries and other items for our local hospital. In a moment of quiet, bring your own thanks before God. For all of these things and so much more, we thank you, Lord. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. God of hope in these times of change, unite our nation and guide our leaders with your wisdom. Give us courage to overcome our fears and help us to build a future in which all may prosper and share. Lord, we bring the leaders of our nation before you. We ask you give them wisdom beyond earthly wisdom as they lead us through this current crisis. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, at this time we lift up before you all those who've lost loved ones. It's with great sadness we see the number of deaths rising every day. And as the number of deaths continues to rise, help us not to forget that behind the numbers, there are real people and real families who have lost loved ones and who won't be able to mourn together as a family in this current lockdown. Lord, we also ask for your protection on all those who are currently caring for COVID-19 patients. Where there are deficiencies in PPE, we ask you to step in and provide your divine protection. And in a moment of quiet, lift up before God those known to you who've recently died or are currently in need. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord, as we see how COVID-19 has devastated developed countries, we do pray for those parts of the world which are much less developed. Lord, with this cruel disease, it's even harsher on the poor in our world. Show us what we can do to protect the poor and the needy. While we may have had to change the way we're currently living, we still have roofs over our heads and food on our plates. Lord, we lift up before you our brothers and sisters across the world who are less fortunate than we are. And we ask you hold them close in your arms and provide for their needs. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Father, I want to thank you for the wonders of technology that allow us to meet together even though we can't physically be together. Thank you for Max and the work he's doing to continue to lead us as a church in this difficult time. Thank you this week for Spring Harvest at Home and for having the opportunity to hear from so many wonderful speakers. As we go out into this week, Lord, we ask you'll be with us all in our interactions with others, helping us to bring joy and peace into our world. And as we close our time of prayer, let's join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Polly. And as we come towards the end of our time together, it seemed to me that with today's subject matter of being disappointed with God, there was only one hymn, one song of worship that we might finish on together. Abide with me. And so as we do finish our time here together today, I wonder how you have found meeting together in our homes to worship God. Has this been more intimate for you and you've enjoyed it? Or have you preferred the idea of having the backdrop of one of our church venues behind us? Do let me know. Email me or phone me or message me and let me know your input. Indeed, let me know any of your input on these services. I do appreciate it. And if you want to do a reading, or you want to maybe give a testimony of what Jesus has been doing in your life, let me know that as well. We'd love to include those in our future services together. And don't forget that on our website, www.bedhampton.church, you can access all these services after the event. And also up there is that communion service. If you want to share communion with you and your God, those words are up there for you to share, and that video for you to share communion with God. Finally, do let me know if you want to be part of that discussion starting not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday as we look at the fundamentals of our Christian faith. Let me know if you want to be part of that online discussion, and I'll make sure that you get the information on how to do that. But as we do finish, I want you to now just to bring to mind the people that you normally meet with and walk with Jesus during the week. Maybe you're part of that 8 o'clock service and you share communion together there. Bring those people to mind. Maybe the 11 o'clock service. Bring those people to mind. Or even the 9:30 service. Bring those people to mind. Bring whoever you walk with during the week. Perhaps you don't even come to a church building normally on a Sunday, but you have people that you trust and love and walk through life with. Bring those people to mind. And we'll say this blessing over one another. Even distributed, we can bless one another with the grace. And so the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. I'll see you soon.